Okay, the first reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And the second reading is Revelation chapter 20. And it's 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay. You switch that, Tally? Okay, Danse Macabre, which is French for Dance of Death. When I was at school in Grantia, I used to hate music. Music lessons were the lesson I feared most, next to woodwork. And in music, this one particular, I think it was second or third, I can't remember what year it was, but Mrs. Jones was my music teacher, and she played this piece of music. It was Halloween time it was played, and it's probably the most powerful piece of sort of classical kind of music that I'd ever heard, and it's always stayed with me. And Ruth bought me it for Christmas a few years ago, and I've listened to it over and over and over. And I did some research into the song, and the song was written 1600 or 1700, something like that timeline. And what it's about, or what it's meant to be about, is it's about a dance of death that unites all who have died. And in a singular night, all the dead come together and they dance over the graveyard or the gravesides. And the fact the music was written to evoke that, and it was meant to represent or tell people, look, you live this life once. It's a short life. It could be a glorious life, but you will die. And after death, there is nothing more. And this is why they do this dance. And the dance is to sort of, the music and the dance was to sort of glorify you know, that life had passed and that death was all that there was. So it was a song that I really actually came to mind preparing this talk, and really poignant at the minute for what I'm going to be saying. So death, we all know what death is. Death is whenever you stop breathing, you die, your heart stops. I want to look at three major causes of death in the last few hundred years. The Black Death. The Black Death killed 75 to 200 million. They're not sure the exact amount of people that it killed. Then we have the Spanish Flu of 1918, which killed between 20 and 40 million. And then to bring it up the date a wee bit, we have AIDS, which has killed about 30 million people to date. Death comes in many forms, through many diseases. It can come by tragedy, it can come by accident. So many ways that people die. But these three that I've listed are over a quarter of a billion, 300 million roughly, people killed by those three. Today, in our news, we have the nurse who treated people for the Ebola outbreak. And she was, she came back with it, thought that beat it, and now she is back in containment again, struggling to survive. With AIDS today, still killing many, many people. These are diseases that are still with us. We will never defeat diseases. Diseases will claim lives. In Northern Ireland, statistical research agency tell me that 14,500 people will die in our country each year. Main causes are cancer, heart disease, strokes, and respiratory illnesses, asthma, COPD. Cancer is a big killer. We all know somebody who's either had cancer, is struggling with cancer, or who's died of cancer. Heart disease and strokes have become very to the fore lately, and a lot of people are taking strokes. Not necessarily dying from them instantly, but they do have an effect that do cause death later. And I'm talking to a man that I know very, very well, an engineer, fantastic mind, most cleverest, gifted engineer I've ever met. And he's now dying with motor neuron disease. And he's trying to work out why he got motor neuron disease and can he beat it. And, you know, I've sat and chatted with him and said, you know, you can't beat motor neuron disease. And he said, well, I'm going to be the first person to do so. So whenever death comes knocking at your door, for many it's hard to face. It's hard to take it on board, especially if you have a disease like motor neuron disease or cancer that is going to cause your death. And you've got time to think about that. A man called Philip Messenger said this: death has many doors by which to let out life. Last week, Taddy said, hell is a reality, and so is heaven. And we will end up, when we die, in one of two places. Either be present with the Lord, or absent from the Lord. We may all go through one of the doors we've talked about. There's so many doors by which death can let out life. Many fear death. We'll do anything to even avoid talking about death. Many will fear not just death, but what happens after death. They call it the afterlife. Even talking about death, some people can panic and worry. What lies beyond death? What lies beyond the grave? The fear of the unknown is what most people fear. Woody Allen said this: I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. It's what happens after death that most people fear. Scientists have tried to explain it. People have had after-death experiences, saw bright lights, you know, been met by weird and wonderful angels or people or whatever they say they meet. Humanists say that there's nothing at all after you die. You just die. And that would be wonderful for many who, like atheists, who think that whenever they die, that's it and there's nothing else to face. You just go back to being nothing. Hindus say that you may come back as something else. So I may come back as a sheep or a pig or a wasp. Many interesting things. Mormonism or Mormons say that women will be eternally giving birth spiritually giving birth for all eternity. We tonight as Christians, I hope, don't believe any of these things. They're hearsay, they're other people's thoughts, and there's no proof behind them. What we believe is what we read in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15 that I read earlier on. We're told by God what will happen. So what happens after death? Like Taddy said, you go to one of two places. Everyone goes to one of two places to wait for the day of judgment. I used to joke, before I was a Christian, I used to joke about death. You know, when I heard somebody had died, I said, oh, well, that's another one bites the dust. You know, I used to take it very lightheartedly. I never took it really seriously. And after preparing and going through this talk, I've realised actually what a serious issue death really, really is. After death, no matter how you die, no matter who you were in life, no matter how great you were, no matter how meaningless you were, whether big or small, no matter who you were, every one of us will go to one of two places, and then we go to the judgment. And this judgment is the bit that is fearful for some. On the day of judgment, standing in resurrected immortal bodies, we will be judged. And those whose name is not in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Is that hard to grasp, isn't it? We're going to die once in this physical life, and then if you're not a believer in Jesus and you're not saved, you're going to face a second death when you die. There is no turning back. I tried to describe this to a few people, friends of mine who are unbelievers, and we're talking about death, and I was saying, you know, what's death like and what happens the moment you die? And I always say to them, look, it's like you blink and you go to open your eyes again, you can't open your eyes because death has got you. And there's no turning back and there's no getting out of where you are. And so whenever you die and you go to death, that's it. But there is a second death that'll be more terrifying than the first death. The lake of fire is what it's described. I can't put into words for you what the lake of fire is going to be like. I can't sort of give you images, borrow this image, but I can't, I can't really give you an image of what the lake of fire is going to be like, what it's going to be like physically, what the pain's going to be like, about how it's going to affect the people. I can't do that. I can just tell you that in Revelation 20 it tells us that that's where the unbeliever will be cast into. But those who don't get cast into the lake of fire, they're the people whose names have been inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the only way there is to escape the lake of fire that is to come in the second death. Hebrews 9 tells us this. Sorry, my slides got mixed up there. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. I think it's the road to St. Patrick that I drive sometimes. Remember, is there another road? But I do see that verse up. And every time I pass it, I think to myself, I wonder how many people pass that sign and just look at it and take it in, and then it just goes back out of their mind. People don't realise how important and how crucial the day of judgment is going to be. Revelation 20 tells us, and anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The judgment for some will be eternal separation from God. Now, could you be one of the next people to die? Could you be one of the next people to be one of the 14,500 or so people who are going to die next year? Do you know? You don't know the moment you're going to face death. You don't know if you're going to have an accident that could take your life. You don't know if you'll get hit with a heart attack. You have no idea what is going to take your life and at what moment in time. If we all knew when we were going to die, we'd be better prepared. You could face death at any time, and you may not be prepared for that, but would you be prepared for the second death? On the flip side of all that I've said so far in death, which is a bit depressing, should I say, we have the upside of that, which is life. And the Northern Ireland's same place I got the statistics for death also gave me the same statistics for life. And the upside is that 24,000 new people are born into the world into Northern Ireland every year. And we have one of them in our congregation in the mornings who's arrived. If you go to one of Tally's children's blessings, you will quite often hear, and I have been brainwashed with his saying, which is every new child born into this world is proof that God hasn't given up on us yet. He says it time after time after time, and it's got to be true that God is giving us opportunity after opportunity to come to know him. Others might just say, life goes on, and that sums it up. For many, we're just a number. You come into this life, you get a number. You're born a statistic. You die, and you're given another number. And you're just another statistic. Is that all we are in this life? We're just born to walk through life and then die? Is that what it's all about, growing up and dying? Jesus gave us the answer to this. Jesus said this, I have come into the world that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus knew life without meaning or purpose is mundane and pointless. But he offered life. Is abundant life about having riches and wealth and all the possessions you can have? Is that going to make you have an abundant life? Is it about being free from sickness and illness and free from disease and having a wonderful physique and being able to enjoy life to the very full? Is that the abundant life that Jesus is speaking about? I don't think that is the abundant life that Jesus is speaking about at all. What is it that Jesus is saying? What is abundant life? Jesus promised. He promises every believer abundant life. And in abundant life, he also promised us eternal life. The life to come. The irony of what I'm saying tonight is this. I have said to you that you have to face death physically now, but you may also have to face a second death. You live a life now, but you also have the opportunity of having another life, eternal life. So tonight there's a choice whether or not you have life and life, or you have life and death and death. Jesus promised abundant life. How do we obtain abundant life? What is it that I have to do? Do I have to pay money? Do I have to live my life very, very well, very good? Do I have to do good things for other people? You know, do I have to show what a good citizen I am and what a wonderful person I really am? Is that going to get me abundant life? It's not going to get me abundant life. What prevents me from getting abundant life? What is it that I've done that stops me from automatically getting abundant life? Well, the thing that stops a person from getting abundant life is the sin in their life. Because of sin, because of wrongdoing, because of breaking God's law, because we don't live to his standards, because of the rebellion in our hearts against God, failing to reach the standards he set. Because of these things, we are what is called dead in our sin. In other words, as an unbeliever, you're nothing more than a walking zombie. We're dead in sin. We're in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world. That is what prevents us from obtaining abundant life. And the only way we can obtain abundant life is through faith in Jesus, who died to pay the price for my sin, so that I could have abundant life and eternal life. So much so that the Bible, and Jesus' own words, goes on to call this the getting the abundant life, the everlasting life. How do we obtain it? Jesus tells us that you must be born again. To be born again is what Jesus used to describe it. And what I'm talking about is, you know, we live now, we're going to live again. To be living again, we need to be born again. Does that mean I have to go back into my mother's womb and come back out again? The answer is no. What does it mean to be born again? It means to humbly come to God, to acknowledge that he is right, that I have been living my life a sinner in rebellion to him. It's about coming to Jesus and asking him to forgive me for all the sins that I have committed, for all the wrong that I have done, for living my life my way, turning around, casting or putting away the things of my life and saying, Jesus, I want to live my life for you. I want to have you in my life. I want you to forgive me for the sin that I have committed. The moment I became a Christian, all my sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so far have my transgressions been forgiven. This is the only way to receive the abundant life that Jesus spoke of. Life is worth living. And there is no need tonight to fear death if you are a believer in Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of life. He called himself that. I am the Lord of life, who has conquered sin and death for us. I mean, that's just an amazing thing to try and grasp. But Jesus did all that for us. But unfortunately, even as believers and Christians, we still have to go through the pain of dying. We still have to go through the pain of dying. We still have to cross this life before we go to be with the Lord. At the start, I showed you an image of Dance Macabre. Told you what it was about. Dance of death. Nearly like a celebration of death. What a wonderful thing it is. that it's not. But I would much rather be dancing the dance of life. I would rather be dancing and knowing that one day I am going to dance in the presence of God, that one day I'm going to be in the very presence of Jesus, that one day when I dance, I will be dancing with my Saviour, a dance that I will dance forever. And it won't just be a one night thing, it will be eternity. We will be dancing into eternity, into the presence of the Lord. And that's for the believers and the saved people. Unfortunately, there are many in this world tonight who are dancing with death. Many who are choosing to ignore God, to refuse to know His Son, and to continue to dance with death. If you're afraid tonight of death, or if you're afraid tonight of what lies after death, or even if you're afraid of what we've talked about the second death, you need to listen to what Jesus has offered tonight. The gift of eternal life, the gift of joy and peace with Him in His presence for all eternity. That is what Jesus offers us tonight for those who put their trust in Him. Those who refuse Jesus, those who turn away from Him, they will never experience the abundant life. They will not be choosing life. They will be choosing to dance, as I have said, with death. Moses said this. Oh, please come up. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I set before you life and death tonight. And you can either choose to continue living your life your way and turning away from God, and you will be choosing death. Or you can choose to accept Jesus and come to Him, and you will be choosing life. The decision in whether you choose life or choose death is a decision that will not just affect you in this life, but will affect you before the judgment throne of God. Let's pray. Father God, I just ask tonight, Lord, that you would really work in the hearts of people who would hear this message, that people, Lord, would consider life and death, would consider what it means, not just for this age, for this life, but for the afterlife, for what is to come, for the judgment seat that awaits every person. Lord, I ask you please to open up the hearts, that people would receive Jesus, your Son, as their Saviour, and that they, Lord God, would realise what abundant life really is. That doesn't mean we're going to be set free from sickness or we're going to have lots of money in this life. But what it does mean, Lord, that we will spend eternity in your presence with you and know what it is to bask in your love forever. So I ask you, Lord, to bless us tonight, Lord, as we leave here. To help us, Lord, to realise that as believers we have this abundant life that Jesus has promised us, and that we live in and through your Son's precious name. Amen.